Hello there, paperweight people. We have a great show for you today, but first I get to take a moment and tell you about Bebop's. Brittany's Brick Oven Pizza is a mom-and-pop pizza shop located at 2034 Lanier Drive in Madison, Indiana, and they happen to be the sponsor of this episode. Stop by today to enjoy a delicious pizza featuring handmade dough and sauces, fresh toppings, all cooked to perfection in a brick oven. Also, try one of Susan's homemade desserts and treat yourself to a local wine or beer. On a personal note, Bebop's is my family's favorite pizza place. I'm partial to the Chicken Bacon Ranch, while my wife can't get enough of the Boss Hog Barbecue. Call 812-274-3337 or stop by Bebop's today and tell them that Paperweight sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your co-host, Derek Hoskins, and with me tonight, as always, is my good friend and yours, the glue, the wonderful, the glorious, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how you doing, bud?
I'm not going to lie to you, Derek. It's really weird for me because I'm sitting inside of my welly, after I was just bragging about that, in a very well-cooled apartment, AC flowing. Everything's just gelling, or it should be, right? But I'm equally as swamp ass as you are right now out in your garage, and I don't understand why it's smeltering in here. Other than being really humid, I'm all right.
I'm happy.
I'm in a good mood. I'm just hot.
I understand.
For your sake and the listeners, I did not turn on that fan.
No, that's great. I have my fan on because I am not in a climate controlled room in any way, shape, or form.
It's also probably a smaller personal fan out there.
Yeah, it's a little fan.
Mine's like a wind machine.
Like a rattly box fan next to me.
Just a squirrel cage.
So we are here to talk about the series finale of Secret Invasion, a show that is on Disney Plus, which is, of course, put out by a studio run by none other than Bob Iger, a man who makes close to $30 million a year, who says that their writers and actors cannot be paid fairly because they don't make enough money. Just wanted to throw that out there at the beginning of this. Support the strike. Support everyone getting a fair share of the wealth for the art that they put on. I'm going to get off my soapbox or I will keep going with that. Absolutely ridiculous. That $500,000 a week, I think. Somewhere around there, $500,000 a week. They don't have enough money to pay everybody a fair share. But we're not here to talk about the strike right now. We are going to review the season/series finale of Secret Invasion. I'm going to go ahead and start off. This show started with a bang. I was very excited about it to begin with. Really enjoyed the first couple episodes, and then I started to get a little concerned as it went on. And I did not have high hopes last night. I'm not going to lie. Everybody that watches and listens here knows that I have not disliked anything that Marvel's done. And I can still say that I enjoyed this show overall. But this one was one of the weaker ones, unfortunately, which is a bummer because I was really, really looking forward to this show. So overall, Ian, I'm going to toss it to you because I've been rambling for a while. What did you think of this finale overall before we get into our thoughts on the show as a whole?
I'm trying to choose my words carefully here and keep it short and sweet. It was okay. It was what I thought it would be, and it's my general complaint about Marvel shows in general. And I feel like they did it again, not to like a really bad degree of what they've done in the past. But I definitely think that there's an ongoing issue with these shows. And we've talked about it before. We're going to continue to talk about it because it's going to continue to happen. It appears, in my opinion, is some filler episodes and cramming everything into one episode at once, or the last two episodes. In my opinion, they crammed everything into the last episode at once. And I thought it was way too short, it seemed like. Like, I know it probably had that normal, like, hour runtime, but it seemed 38 rushed minutes. To me. 38 minutes. Okay, 38 what minutes. Is it Once typically? Again, 40, 48, 52, roughly?
So, the first two episodes of this show were, like, 54 and 56 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
And then they got progressively shorter as it went on.
Yeah.
And this and is the not finale the first is 38 time that the finale minutes? Is the one of the shorter episodes of the show.
I know. That's my point. But that was me trying to keep it short and sweet. I'm sorry. I did kind of ramble on. That's how I felt. I've got more thoughts, but that's right. That's the.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I was, I didn't have my hopes very high for this finale because as much as I was enjoying the show to begin with, I really felt like they were kind of dropping the ball on the pacing again. And so once again, we came into this episode with real pacing issues of them trying to finish it quickly when they didn't do much the last two episodes. Now, while I loved the last couple episodes because of all of the dialogue and all the acting in this show has been phenomenal overall. But the story just they didn't go anywhere with it like I thought that they would. And this show did not have the ramifications that I expected it to. I thought that we would go into this series and we were going to have something that was going to resonate throughout the MCU the same way that like Civil War did. And maybe that's on me for expecting too much from one of these shows. But I thought that like when Winter Soldier revealed that S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra were Hydra had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. changed the entire landscape of the MCU. When Civil War happened and split the Avengers, changed the entire landscape of the MCU. And it set the stage for Infinity War and for Thanos to be able to win because the Avengers were divided. I expected this show to do something similar where it's going to either seed mistrust or it's going to set up Nick Fury in a place where he's back to where he used to be and move the character and the storyline forward. And it didn't. At the end of the day, they know Skrulls exist. The president is now like put out a hit on Skrulls, which who didn't see that coming? And Fury's back at the space station. Like, what did the show actually achieve? What was the point of it? What was the point of the show?
Yeah,
other than the fact that now we've got Gaia, who is the most overpowered character in all of the MCU.
And we don't have an issue with that?
Yeah.
There's no protocol on that?
She's legitimately got the power to have all the powers. She's the Superman trope. Yeah, she's got the power to have all the powers. And she killed Gravik by shooting him through the stomach. Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this character of Gravik has been hyped up all season as this big badass, and he didn't notice that he was being Skrulled.
Right. I want to ask you, did you think for a second that was really Nick Fury?
No.
No, I didn't either. No. And why would he think that he would have come there?
And then taking the pills right in front of him when he was all the way into the facility.
No.
He smacks him out of his hand down the drain because not having those. I'm like, that's not a red flag for you, man.
And
why would he not have taken them before he walked in?
The thing that bums me, well, I mean, it showed him kind of taking them beforehand, but either way, the thing that really bums me out about that.
But is, why wouldn't it have worked? Why did he need to take another one?
I don't know.
And that was a complaint of mine too. There was nobody around when he did it.
Yeah.
So it's just like they were trying to fool us, the audience.
Right.
Why? We're aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
Why do we need to be fooled by like him taking the, like, to me, that's really close to breaking the fourth wall. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Because
why does he need
to there's nobody else there.
If nobody's there.
And the only reason why is if he thinks that Gravik or if Gaia thinks that Gravik is watching her. But I don't know. That's a flimsy argument. Either way, the thing that bums me out about that whole situation with Gravik and Fury or Gravik and Gaia is, again, it was Samuel Jackson in a room with a person, and I loved the scene of the two of them talking. I think that I'm so sorry. I do not remember the man that plays Gravik's name. It's a...
That's Ken, actually.
Yeah, it is. He is a Ken. I know that. But yeah, so Gravik's anger and the way that he talked to Fury and there was a moment that it was such beautiful acting where Gaia Fury says, oh, you know, I knew within the first couple of years I wouldn't be able to find
Guy
you. Gaia Fieri. Welcome to Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Russian nuclear plant edition.
Kingsley Ben-Adir?
Yes, Kingsley Ben-Adir. And
Kingsley, you've been a deer.
There's this wonderful moment where Gaia as Fury says, I knew in the first couple of years that I wouldn't be able to find you a suitable home. And I began working to make this world possible for you to live in. And it stops him in his track. And he just turns around and he goes, well, why didn't you? Like, there was actually a moment there where Gravik stopped being angry and actually, like, that surprised him.
He wanted answers, yeah.
And he wanted that answer.
You made a promise. Why didn't you do this?
It was a great moment.
It was really genuine.
It was. It was a beautiful acting moment. And also, it really portrayed, like, Gravik was a really compelling, interesting character until he turned into the Super Skrull. Then it just became another CGI, you know, punching fest, which I'm not against those, but that wasn't what we needed in this. That wasn't the ending we needed. We needed Gravik to actually... I didn't want to see Gravik get into a punching match. I wanted to see the intellectual debate. I wanted to see that. I wanted to see him lose, not by getting killed. I wanted to see him lose by realizing that Talos was right and that Fury was right and that there was a possibility and they were working on this. I wanted him to be proved wrong, and they proved him right in this series. It just really bummed me out. And I know I'm talking about the negatives only, but I really loved that scene. And I hate the way that it ended with Gaia becoming a Super Skrull, because not only is she a Super Skrull, she has the powers of every character that was on screen at the end of Endgame. She had one of those arms was Thanos. One of them was Drax. And explain to me why only their arms changed.
Leg changed, didn't it?
Yeah, I know. But it looked so silly when it was just like Emilia Clarke running with Drax's arm and
Korg's arm.
Korg's arm on the other side. I didn't understand that. That was a little silly. And I say I didn't understand that. I do understand why they did that, because it is visually evocative of what Super Skrull looks like in the comics, where he looks like a normal... Yeah. He looks like a normal Skrull, but his arms and legs are like part of the Fantastic Four. And so,
but is there like a contingency plan for him of some sort? Like, do they have something like how Batman does for basically everybody in the Justice League? Like, in case he does like cross, because like you don't want somebody that powerful without, not to get all that government on you, but you don't want somebody just running around and not having a plan in case that person like goes rogue, right?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what they're going to do. Well, in the comics, you know,
I know how Tony Stark of me to say.
In the comics, Super Skrull's a villain, so it's not that big of a deal. They just try and fight him. But this idea that now Gaia is going to be working with Sonya as this new character, I just don't like it. It's too much. The power creep that they're doing, where everybody's more and more powerful. By the time they get to any other, like, what character could possibly go up against her? She's got the power of all of the Avengers, all of the Guardians of the Galaxy, all of the Black Order and Thanos. She's got the powers of everyone, including Captain Marvel.
Missing is her getting up in front of a press conference and moving silently side by side, completely naked. She's invisible. South Park reference for those of you who don't know. Not just because I'm a creep. No, I am a weirdo.
You are a weirdo. What are you doing here?
The hell am I doing here?
So that whole bit really bugged me. What did you think about the whole Gravik versus Gaia?
That's what scenario I wanted to get into.
The rest of it, I actually liked everything happening with the president and with Scrody. I actually liked that part. It was the Gaia and Gravik stuff.
They hyped him up for God knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Six episodes?
Six episodes, yeah.
And at the end, he gets duped very easily.
Mm-hmm.
For this big military genius that he thinks he is. He gives her the power to have all the powers. And then they have a 2-minute battle. She beats the shit out of him. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and he's just done.
Okay.
And like, I know he's got Extremis, and so Extremis can pretty much heal just about anything, but at least that was At least that was set up in Iron Man 3, because in Iron Man 3, you know.
Yeah, what Tony, a callback, by the way. That's Tony kills, a long time ago, it feels like.
Yeah, Tony kills Savin, who is like the right-hand man on the plane.
Spoilers.
With a unibeam to the chest, and he even says, grow that back. Or recover, regenerate from that. So at least that's something that's happened in the past, but it still is just silly.
Go back and watch 3.
That's you do need I'd to go watch Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 is
the least.
Iron Man 3 is an underappreciated gem. I die agree. On the hill of
I wasn't
Iron
a
Man
huge
3.
Fan of 2. It wasn't bad by any means. I just wasn't a huge fan of 2, but I did like 3 from what I remember.
I loved Iron Man 3. But yeah, so anyway, continue. I took over again.
No, that's pretty much the end of it, man. That's pretty much the end of my rant. Was I don't agree with what we keep doing with these shows, and then at the end it's like 2 minute battle, and then like graphics done, and then Nick Fury is like, "All right, well, I did my part. I'm guessing I'm going back up to space." It's like, what did you come down here for?
Yeah,
to stop this invasion? Like they needed you for that. Didn't need you for all this other stuff going on, but they needed you for that. Specifically. Right. So, and then like told you my complaint like a few weeks ago last week when it was just like, no, there's things I can do that they can't. I'm like what?
Right. Yeah.
Like what?
But they're really like what? I mean, the Avengers could have put an end to Gravik before he got a chance to step in there. He never would have had to have that. Fury still could have done everything with Scrody and take care of that whole situation, and Gravik would have been handled. I mean, Shang-Chi could have went in there and taken out Gravik by himself. They don't even need all the Avengers.
That's another one to watch again. Such a good movie.
Send Bruce in there. Smart Hulk could have taken out Gravik without a problem. She-Hulk could have taken out Moon Knight. Could have taken out Gravik. Any of them could have.
This was the opportunity to introduce, you know, Dazzler. Dazzler probably could have taken out.
Dazzler probably could have taken. Jubilee probably could have taken.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
But anyway, so moving on from all that, the things that I actually did like in this episode. Again, Olivia Colman as Sonya Fallsworth is absolutely incredible. I'm so excited that she's going to move on. It looks like she's going to be doing some more in the MCU. I really want her to. I'm not excited about the fact she's going to be working with Gaia Super Skrull. Just because there's just too much there. She's too powerful. And I hate that too, because I like Gaia as a character. I like Emilia Clarke as an actress, and I'm glad that she's going to be going on in the MCU, but I hate that they gave her this power set, because where's the threat now? It's the same thing if they were to bring in like the Sentry in here. Where's the threat? And it's not like, I don't know. They're good. They're better writers than I am. They'll come up with something. But either way, I'm frustrated with how this ended. So we get the excellent scene of Scrody trying to move the president, and Sonya, you know, calling him and luring him out, and then realizing that Fury is actually there. Surprise. Nobody saw that coming. But then the thing that I liked about that is the back and forth. I love a back and forth where somebody's trying to decide who they're supposed to shoot. And the president trying to figure out whether Fury's telling the truth or whether Scrody's telling the truth, and having a real hard time with
also,
that.
Also, again, can't be like, Mr. President, I can prove it. Don't freak out. You shoot Rhodey in the hand.
Yeah. I said the Scrody. Same thing.
I'm sorry. Scrody in the hand.
Yeah, shoot Scrody in the... She's got him. She's got him with a gun. She's done it before. Shoot him in the shoulder. Do anything. Shoot him somewhere.
And she's standing directly behind him, so it's not like the president. Let's just assume he's not a marksman.
Right.
It'd just be like, and immediately, like, shoot her.
Yeah.
Like, she could just stand behind him, shoot him in the hand, shoot his ear.
Yeah. Anything. Her ear,
whatever.
Anything.
So.
But that did lead to, that did lead to a pretty awesome.
Things escalated.
That did lead to an awesome, awesome ending to Scrody. I did cheer a little bit with Scrody.
I got really annoyed after all that, the president going on and giving that hate speech.
Me too.
On national TV. I was like,
Did nobody tell him that Talos saved him?
Yeah.
Did Fury not explain to him that, hey, this is a rebel group of... He even said it. A rebel group of Skrulls. A rebel group, not the Skrulls in general. A rebel group of Skrulls.
And also, like, come on, man. What are the odds that all of a sudden they're trying to find a new planet, and they're like, so the Kree has agreed to sign a peace treaty. All of a sudden, I'm like, well, what? Why?
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason they fleed.
Yeah, I don't know.
They could just go back now.
I just don't know what the point of this show was in the long run.
I know. I agree.
Which is a bummer because I really, really was excited about it.
So this does make sense to me. One of the things that I had noticed about Scroty was that Scroty wasn't Rhodey because Rhodey's needed like those robotic legs, mm-hmm. basically. And even if they're not visible, Rhodey had a walk, had a mm-hmm. certain walk. And I noticed that, and I think I might have said something to you. I was like, he didn't have the walk. That's how, mm-hmm. that's what kind of gave it away for me. And then that horrible, like, fake, like, street accent he had all of a sudden.
Yeah. That was kind of the worst kept secret. I think everybody kind of expected that going in.
Yeah.
That Rhodey was going to be a Skrull.
But it's like, can you try to at least pretend that you're trying to hide it? Yeah. And
because that could have been a great reveal. I mean,
him coming off of the. Yeah, and him coming off the thing and then like having to like basically carry him because, well, everybody was weak, but he just doesn't have the legs.
Yeah, his legs don't work. And also, I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were like, "Well, how long has Rhodey been there?" Because they didn't come out and say it. They said, "How long have you been here?" They give us enough clues that if you're paying attention, you know how long he's been there. He's been in there since the end of Civil War. He's in a hospital gown. He can't walk. He's surprised that he can't walk. So that means that after he was injured in Civil War, they took
him. I was going to guess the end of Endgame. That was going to be my guess.
Yeah, I'm saying Civil War because he was in the hospital gown. And so I'm thinking that they took him out of the hospital, replaced him there, and that's
when. But then he would have never needed the robotic legs.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't mean that.
Hold on. Let me rephrase that. He would have never needed the bionic legs. I prefer bionic.
I prefer magic legs.
Magic legs. Crazy legs.
Magic legs. But yeah, so I think that since they said it's been a couple of movies that Rhodey has been a Skrull, that it's Civil War, I hate that. I really, really hate that because that means that the Rhodey that fought for Earth is not Rhodey. That means that the Rhodey that comforted his friend as he died is not Rhodey. However,
which doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, if you're playing the part, you got to think about people that are undercover and deep cover. They will go to that length to maintain their cover. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind that. The thing that it does get me excited about.
Oh, is, Reginald.
I disagree. The thing that does get me excited about is Armor Wars. We're going to see a very angry James Rhodes. Somebody that has lost years of his life and who is going to find out that not only was he kidnapped, but his best friend was killed. He wasn't there to save him.
In your opinion.
He wasn't there to save him.
You don't know that.
And now, I'm telling you right now, Armor Wars is going to be so good. I have every faith that Armor Wars is going to be excellent. That is my next most anticipated project. I cannot wait for that to happen. It is going to be a while. Based on the idea that these strikes are probably going to go all the way into 2024, because the executives who are making millions and millions and millions, quarter of a billion dollars, millions half a billion dollars, can't take a $1 million pay cut to make sure that their writers and actors are actually paid. So that's ridiculous. It makes me so furious. Anyway,
Nick furious.
It makes me Nick furious. It makes me Gaia Sorry. Furious. So that's all of my thoughts. I was really disappointed in this overall. Probably my least favorite show in the MCU of the Disney Plus shows, which really bums me out because I was looking forward to it. And I can't say that I hated it. So my track record of still liking everything in the MCU is there, but. I didn't get to love it like I hoped I would. So yeah, overall, I liked it. Could have been a lot better. Least favorite of the Disney Plus shows. What about you?
Yeah, it's down there for me. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying any of them are bad. None of them are terrible shows. I just got my nitpicks of like crushing mm-hmm. everything and cramming everything at the end. And I've been very vocal about that for 10 shows now or whatever mm-hmm. many it's been. As you have too. It's not just me. Yeah. I'm not the only bitter one on here.
No,
but yeah,
no.
Man. Overall, I'd put it in the bottom tier of the shows for me.
And I do think that as much as I hate to say it, because it always gives us something to talk about, I'm ready for them to cut back on the Disney Plus shows. I think that the formula is not working.
If this is the quality they're going to give us,
the formula is not working well enough. I think that if we get two shows a year, I'd be all right with two shows a year. If we get something like WandaVision,
just put two seasons of Loki out 1 year.
Well, I mean, but I can't even say that because I loved Hawkeye. I love Falcon Winter Soldier.
It was a joke, Dad. Calm down.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not making fun of your precious MCU, Derek. You can, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
You put your phone down. Stop texting Kevin Feige and having the Hit Squad come over here.
Kevin,
take him out.
Take care of this.
He's doing too much.
But yeah. So anyway, yeah. So that was Secret Invasion. I got nothing else. Thank you everybody for watching. Thank you for listening. If you are watching this on YouTube and you're new, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell. Please subscribe to the channel if you're new here. We really appreciate that. Don't forget to rate and review us if you are listening on the audio format. You still have about 1 week of an opportunity to pick up our Secret Invasion inspired logo on our Redbubble store. The link to our merch store is in the description. So you only got about a week left to pick that up if you want to get it. We would really appreciate that. Also, if you want anything else of our merch, it's there forever. This is the only limited edition thing. If you want to make Ian smile, don't forget to leave a comment on this video. I know that I already said the comment, but if you want to see him smile, leave a comment. You can just tell him how pretty he looks, and that will be wonderful. And also, make sure you let us know what you think about Secret Invasion. Let us know what you think about the MCU as a whole right now. Let us know what you're thinking about the shows on Disney Plus. And make sure you follow us on all the social medias. And with that, I'm going to stop rambling, and I'm going to get off of here. So for Ian, I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.